Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The perfect hire can have an impact on your business for years to come. So you need to find the next person to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs will match the right talent with your open role fast. LinkedIn has over 675 million members worldwide. It screens candidates with the hard and soft skills you're looking for. It looks at things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and puts your job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. That's why companies rate LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. Find the right person today for your business with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just visit linkedin.com/team. Again, that's linkedin.com/team. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome into a Pit Panther Rants and our Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris here. Brought to you by Armchair Media. Take a seat. Happy, it's early Saturday morning here. It's 12:30 a.m. It's raining here in Houston, as we need some rain. Excuse me. I believe next Friday is Good Friday, I believe. I hope it is. Today I went with another Meatless Friday and had a nice veggie burger. I mean, this thing was delicious. I mean, it's this Filipino-Hawaiian place I order food from. And, like, they usually have these soft bayo rolls for their burgers. But for me, I had a veggie burger, so I had, like, it was a big portobello mushroom and stuff with, like, cheddar cheese and fried. And it's topped with whatever you want, and it's just freaking phenomenal. I mean, it's even better when you have an actual burger patty. And they use this Japanese ground beef for their burgers and stuff is just good. And they have some other stuff I want to try, but I'll get to it eventually. Not much going on in the sports world. I mean, gambling-wise, I mean, you can bet on video games. But one thing I noticed about video games is, in this instance, you got to think like the computer does when they simulate these games and play them. Because, you know, for instance, Butler may look like a better team than, say, Clemson. Clemson may end up winning the game because computer thinks, well, you know, Butler's just a freaking, I know I'm Power 5 league, and so, yeah, Clemson wins. So, I mean, it's just the logic of the computer itself. I mean, how they rating players and whatnot. So that's what we got going on. Some people are having, you know, poker tournaments online. Those are kicking off. You know, me, I'm still working from home. And I think we're going to be pretty much doing that for a long time. I mean, my Texas schools are closed till May 4th. And my kids started online learning this past week. And they're getting back into the swing of things. I mean, one thing I tell them is this. With classwork, it's a little different now because the classroom, they're not going by a class schedule now. They have to do it at their own leisure. Although my oldest, who's in fifth grade, he has to have his homework turned in, submitted by 3 p.m. or he's marked absent for the day. That's how she's doing it. Whereas my second grade teacher for my daughter, she doesn't care as long as it's submitted. Because she understands that we got lives. Because I'm trying to work, you know, because we have jobs to do. And trying to balance, you know, doing your job, doing conference calls, you know, working on your projects, and balancing that and helping your kids with schoolwork I mean, it's hard. And at least some teachers realize that. But I tell my kids, I'm like, if you want to avoid, you know, I get that you hate classwork, but if you just wake up and just freaking do it first thing in the morning, and that, and their classwork is a bunch of freaking online class, you know, it's online material. And I can get it done probably in less than 30 minutes. I said, you guys can get this done probably less than an hour tops. I was like, once you get done and submit your work in, you're done for a day. You can go back to sleep. You can go, you know, go on, you know, Xbox, you know, your Nintendo Switch. Do whatever the hell you want. So, yeah. Now, as far as the Pitt sports world goes, I mean, not much. I mean, Ryan Murphy, he left Pitt. He signed with Tulane. He's going there. Deion Lewis signed a contract with the Giants. And that's good because Daniel Jones is going to have two weapons on his backfield. He's going to have Saquon Barkley and he's going to have Deion Lewis. Both of those guys can run the ball and both those guys can catch passes out of the backfield. Hell, both of them can line up a receiver and catch passes going to slot. So with Deion Lewis, he's getting another weapon. And, you know, obviously you would like to have Odell Beckham back. But I think the Giants are going to be all right. I think that, you know, and, you know, if they give Daniel Jones some weapons here, spread defenses out, they may, you know, things may be up only up and up for them. Now, on the Pitt women's side for basketball, Kyla Nelson, she's transferring. We all know her story. She battled cancer. And, she didn't see much playing time this year coming back, and I don't think she was going to see much playing time next year either. And I think that's probably why she's leaving. Although one person mentioned probably because Pitt sucks as well because they're not going to be winning, and that could be it as well. But, you know, she was a Susie McConnell recruit, and I guess she wants to do what's best for her. I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm not sure where she'll go, but possibly Pitt had some other people coming in, and that's just how it is. I mean, Lance White's trying to do what he can to build that schedule and build that roster, rebuild that program because it's hot garbage. Obviously, Pitt hoops, men's hoops is in the mix for some players as well. I mean, we got to keep an eye on that. Jeff Capel said, I guess, Tragus McGowan's, I guess he checked out a while ago, and I guess he was wanting to play point guard for some time. And I guess his brother visiting Pitt and coming to Florida State on his trip wasn't a ringing endorsement of how things were going. And if we're being honest, if you add that, what happened there, along with all this, it's probably best that Trey moves on. I mean, I wish him well. Obviously, maybe he wanted to play point guard or try it, and he just was disenchanted and with how things were going. And, hey, it happens. Where he goes, I hope he does well. Other Pitt news related. Two players from Pitt's, two former Pitt basketball players are testing their NBA waters. Marcus Carr and Parker Stewart now are both testing the NBA waters. Both were Kevin Stallings recruits. They are pretty much our two best players on the 0-18 ACC squad. Doesn't mean that Pitt screwed up by firing Kevin Stallings. No, I think Kevin Stallings, I think his days were numbered the moment he got a new boss. And it was going to take a monumental effort from him to keep his job, and it just, no matter what, it just wasn't going to happen. And, of course, with all the rules he was breaking as well, that didn't bode well either, on top of the losing. And plus, I mean, if anything, Marcus Carr and Parker Stewart probably don't end up as NBA prospects under Stallings. They probably went and got better coaching elsewhere. I mean, Parker lit it up wherever he would transfer to. I saw he was averaging 19 points a game. Marcus Carr was doing pretty well at Minnesota. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that just didn't work out for Kevin Stallings. I mean, his first season, the season fell apart. And when that happened, recruiting fell apart. They lost Aaron Thompson. So if you have a class of Marcus Carr, Parker Stewart, Aaron Thompson, Jerry Wilson Frame, and Ryan Luther doesn't get hurt, and Stallings' final year, Pitt probably doesn't go 0-18 ACC play. They probably win a few more games. And I think he had Dania Kingsby coming in, and he had Bryce Golden. And Bryce Golden's, he's doing pretty well where he's at. Kingsby, he's playing at Bradley as a shooting, he's a shooting guard. And Bradley won their conference tournament, so we would have saw Kingsby playing in the NCAA tournament if there was one. And he was logging in some pretty good minutes. I mean, he was averaging about 8 points a game, so there's a lot of stuff that just fell apart for Kevin Stallings. I mean, recruiting was, I mean, that first season when things unfolded, recruiting did as well. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate. But as far as the wrestling sporting world goes, I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I know I've been seeing some memes going around, some stuff about the NHL restarting their season. If they can do it, fine, but things are getting worse now. I mean, the cases just keep going up. And I'm just, I mean, one thing I've been monitoring is the, not so much the open cases, but the recovery for the COVID. You know, how you know, are we going to see a lot more recoveries? I mean, that's, I hope. I mean, I'm not hoping for it. I mean, people are saying we're going to have a really big death toll, and I'm not hoping for that at all, because that's just, no. I would hope not. But yeah, I mean, there's just not much going on. I mean, for me personally, I mean, this week, I mean, YouTube has free movies, so I've been watching those. I mean, of course, you have the stupid ads, but whatever. You know, I'm pretty much done with the Police Academy, as like I said in the last podcast. I mean, everything except for the Russia one, I just can't get into that. I mean, if I'm ranking the Police Academies, I'm probably going to go with Police Academy 2, because the dialogue in the second Police Academy is really good. I mean, it's really funny. I go 2, probably 1. Probably going with, Police Academy 3. Then I go 4 with Citizens on Patrol. And 5, probably the Miami one. And 6, after the 5th one, which is Miami, then the last one, which was the, I forget what it's called, but it's Police Academy 6, something, something. I don't know. And of course, I watched the Naked Guns as well. They're on Netflix. Any given day, Any Given Sunday was on. It's off now. Players Club just gone on Netflix. What else? The Lethal Weapons 1-4 on Netflix as well. And I watched the first two so far. I never really got into the third or fourth ones, but I guess out of boredom, I'll watch them and see what they're like. But obviously, opening day for the Pirates would have happened this week, and, well, that just ain't happening. None of it is. So, anyways. I mean, I don't see college football starting up either. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I mean, people were talking about the documentary on Will Wade and all Sean Miller and all those guys, and how they got away with so much. And, of course, Pickett's 3 years probation over some stupid crap, and there's some times where I just don't care if they restart college basketball or football. You know, they can all burn in hell. Go back to when the colleges were just for education, forget the hell with athletics. But all that will be gone the minute sports starts back up, and I'm cheering my ass off. Now, if I look at the most crushing moments in Pittsburgh sports, I saw a bunch of them. I mean, of course, the Pirates losing Game 7 against the Braves will always be a crushing one. I mean, I was a kid. I had World Series tickets 3 years in a row, and it just, you know, I went to bed that night when they were winning, and I woke up and they lost. I could just tell, because if I knew they would have won, my parents would have woke me up early to tell me, but it didn't happen. And by the third time when they blew it, I was just kind of numb to it. It was whatever. And after that, the Pirates pretty much dismantled, and that was that. I mean, I mean, I was a huge baseball fan at that point. I still love baseball. I'm more into the history of the game, the ballparks, the players, than I am really the newer stuff. I mean, of course, I do like the Astros. I mean, I try to support the local team here. I mean, they do anything it takes to win. The coin, you know, to put it, you know, politically correct, I guess you'll say. But, yeah, I mean, I got into street hockey at that time, and I started just playing deck hockey and roller hockey and whatnot. And that's the thing about, you know, when watching those old Pens games, how loud the igloo was and how much, you know, people got into hockey at that point. I mean, there was an article about the 88, 89 season for the Pens, and I remember there was a lot of buzz about the Penguins then, and that's how people got really into the sport of it. Especially here in, you know, and I remember after they won the first Stanley Cup, I mean, hockey got really big here. I mean, just the following did. But as far as crushing defeats, going back to that, I mean, Braves, you know, obviously that's always going to be the one. For me, it's going to be the Scotty Reynolds Villanova game, because that team was so good and you just didn't think that would happen. The Cincinnati game for Pitt football. I mean that was crushing too, but not as bad as the Villanova. The thing about the 2009 Cincy game was that with Pitt football, you just knew something bad was always going to happen, no matter how much of a lead they had. That they were going to blow it. They were going to blow it or barely hold on. I mean, that game, that Notre Dame game that same year when they played Jimmy Clausen, Notre Dame came back in that towards the end. I mean, he made one big hell of a throw. But Pitt, you know, was able to put them away. But Cincinnati, they had a big lead, and then they pissed around and let Cincinnati back in the game, and that was that. I mean, we all knew we were screwed when that. Andrew Giannakko muffed the extra point. Because once Cincinnati got the ball, they were just going to drive down the field and beat us. And that's the thing, because, you know, that same year, there was a bunch of games like that. I mean, there was the NC State game where I think we blew a 14-point lead, I mean, against Russell Wilson. Yeah. And that's the thing about Dave Wannstedt's seasons. His seasons either began in disaster or they ended in disaster, and I think the year he got fired, he got an extension. And I think given what was going on off the field with this team and how bad things were starting to really look, I think they just decided to pull the plug on him or have him make some changes. And, well, he just ended up, you know, we ended up looking for a new coach after that. So if I'm looking at crushing defeats, I mean, Pirates, Scotty Reynolds. Pitt Cincy is there too. I mean, Pitt Cincy in 2008 was a bad loss as well. I mean, that was a game they should have won as well. I mean, what other games are there? There's all the Steelers AFC title games. I mean, the 94 Chargers game is one they should have definitely won. Chargers had a hell of a defense. And of course, they caught the Steelers napping on two plays. I mean, obviously the Alfred Papunu's catch was one of them. I mean, the defense was great, but they got caught napping on some plays, and, well, that's what happened. And for some reason, we couldn't run the ball, and we threw a lot, and, yeah. And there was the 97 game against Denver, but the thing is, I wasn't – we beat them the first time, but I just wasn't expecting to beat them the second time, and – we could have, and the sad part is we could have beat them the second time around, but Cordell just had a really bad game, and he was never really the same player after that game. He had a little resurgence in 2001, but another AFC title game against New England, he never recovered from that one either. Screwed with his head as well. Then there was a 2004 AFC title game. For me, that game was more miserable because I sat in that cold weather, and they just played like, I mean, Steelers were struggling towards the end of that game. Not towards the end of the game, but this season, they were struggling offensively, but they were just getting by. And of course, they had to face them the second time, and, well, that was that. They had game film on Ben already, so they can do what they need to do. And that's pretty much what happened with Lamar Jackson this past year. He was on a tear. Eventually, teams got game film on him. And I'm sure probably Belichick probably passed something on to Mike Vrabel. But let's go and let's move away from all that. Because I'm not going to focus on too much on what's going on. Because you go on social media, it's nothing but a bunch of bad news. And people are just mad. I've got some more cars to open up. Some more packs. I got 1991 Pro Set Series 2, 91 Fleur Ultra, and 91 Upper Deck I'm going to open tonight. Pro Set came out in 1989, and they had a really nice set. I mean, it was like the Barry Sanders, Detroit Aikman rookie cards were in them. But the problem is, though, is like just about any other set, they overproduced them, and they're not worth a whole lot anymore. The score football for that year is probably the most valuable one. So the Pro Set series, I mean, the cards were nice, but none of them were jack shit. So let's go to this one. This one is from 91, and it's got a 60 cents plus tax price tag on it, which means more than likely it was at some gas station when they pulled it out. So let's open the first pack, why don't we? Let's see, I got a Mark Bortz, play for the Bears. He was a guard. Jeff Loggeman, defensive end for the Jets. Ray Horton, safety for the Cowboys. I think this is the Ray Horton that was a coach for the Steelers at one point. Jerry Holmes, cornerback for the Packers. Oh, I got an art card. A Shane Conlon Pro Set art card, all AFC team. Eugene Robinson, safety for the Seahawks. I believe he ended up... Did he play a few more... I don't know. That might be a different... There was another Eugene Robinson that was caught with hookers. I don't think this is the one, though. Let's see. There's Michael Stewart, safety for the Rams. Johnny Rembert, linebacker, Patriots. Danny Noonan, defensive tackle for the Cowboys. What a name. And anything else? Let's see here. Anything else that really sticks out for me? There's NFL Newsreel. Oh, the American Bowl in Berlin. 49ers and Bears. Let's see here. Mike Dumas, safety. Let's see, it's a rookie card. George Thornton, defensive end for the Chargers, rookie card. And another rookie card, Dave McLaughlin. He played for the Colts, cornerback. And let's see, the way I can score points to win memorabilia. So, all in all, a pretty crappy pack. I mean, I did open up a pack of 91 score. And in one pack, I got a Warren Moon, an Alan Pinkett, and a Lorenzo White. So, I got the whole Oilers backfield. And I got a Bubby Brister, a Sterling Sharp, Anthony Carter. A really good... I mean, that would be a really good pack of cards if they were worth anything. And now, we're going to do 91 through Ultra. Now... Back around the late 80s, you had Topps, Fleer, and Score. Then 89 Upper Deck came out of nowhere. And they released these cards that were more premium. They had a hologram on the back, so they were counterfeit proof. All the bells and whistles. And, of course, people were collecting Upper Deck because they were, quote-unquote, worth more. So Fleer, Score, and... Topps all got together and released their own premium sets. You had Score Pinnacle, you had Fleur Ultra, and Topps Stadium Club. And the problem is they were nice looking cars, but once again, they over freaking produced them. So you're paying more, you end up paying more for cars that were just overproducing, more jack shit. So, sorry for my language, I'm just kind of bitter that, you know, 30 years ago I collected all this stuff and it's not worth anything. Although some of the hockey sets from towards the mid-90s, like the inserts, they're worth like a lot, like the classic sets. The classic, they're, you know, that's what they were called. Like the autographs and stuff like that, they're doing pretty good. I mean, the Lemieux autographs for like Leaf and Classic, they're still, they're worth some money. So I got 91 Fleer Ultra. And I looked on eBay, and of course, these packs aren't really commanding anything, to say the least. So let's open them. See what we got. Let's see. Brian Noble, Packers linebacker. Mark Rippon, quarterback Redskins. Joey Briner, Vikings defensive back. Steve Walsh, Saints quarterback. Wow, I'm getting some pretty, that's not a bad draw there. I mean, there's some no-name. Pat Harlow, Patriots. He was actually a draft pick. Well, he didn't do nothing. Jerome Brown for the Eagles. That Jerome Brown card. Brent Jones, 49ers. Eugene Marv, linebacker for the Buccaneers. And the only reason why I know all these players is because of Tecmo Bowl. Kevin Green, linebacker for the Rams. Mike Singletary, linebacker Bears. That's actually not a bad draw for packs. I mean, I got some names, but that's it. I got names. I don't got stars. I mean, there's no stars in this pack. That's the thing. You either got names, you got stars, or you just got nothing. So here's another Fleer Ultra. Let's see who I get. I got Jim Breach, Bengals place kicker. Melvin Branton, Broncos running back. And I believe he's the Melvin Branton that he's the one who played in Miami. Nick Lowry, Chiefs place kicker. Lowry was a badass kicker. Rod Woodson, Steelers defensive back. Junior Seau, Chargers linebacker. John L. Williams, Seattle Seahawks. Dennis Gentry, Rams wide receiver. I mean, this is a really good pack of cards. Ricky Sanders, Redskins wide receiver. I mean, this is a really good pack. Charles Haley, an ultra all-star. Number 6 of 10, probably worth nothing. Pat Swilling. Oh, a Tom Marinovich rookie card. Oh, that's awesome. Everson Walls, Giants defensive back. Oh, that's great. This is awesome. A freaking Tom Marinovich rookie card. I mean, this is great. This was a really good pack for Fleer Ultra. I got, oh man, can't wait to go post this on Facebook. Oh no, Twitter, I'm sorry. All right, we've got two more packs. We got 91 NFL football Upper Deck. Upper Deck would jump into the football market as they did with hockey, because they had a hockey set in 1991 and they had baseball already. I don't think they got into basketball yet. Basketball was more like Tops, NBA Hoops at the time. I think Skybox came in. And Skybox was supposed to be the premium set, and I don't think Skybox isn't worth anything. There was also Fleer Ultras. Fleer, I think, Score maybe. But anyways, Upper Deck jumped in the football game, and this set fell flat on its face because the cards were overproduced because, well, that's just what they did. And these cards were such a breath of fresh air from the Tops and Score cards, because Tops had that cardboard smell. The only problem with Upper Deck cards is they tend to have a tendency to stick together. So my first card is a Michael Irvin. Not bad. Anthony Carter is my next card. Good, that's a good card there. Let's see, Gary Anderson, kicker for the Steelers. Another Mike Dumas rookie card. Jeff Loggeman again. Clyde Simmons for the Eagles. Freddie Joe Nunn. Also Keith Byers for the Eagles. Thurman Thomas and Dwayne Harper.
That's actually not a bad pack, actually. I mean, I got some stars. I mean, Thurman was a Michael Irvin, Thurman Thomas. Now let's do the last pack. Here, guys, last pack. Let's see. My first card is a Chet Brooks. Played for the 49ers. Have no idea who he is. Let's see. Paul Gruber. Andre Tippett, linebacker for the Patriots. Another Freddie Joe Nunn. Eugene Lockhart. Yep, this is going to be a bad pack of cards. Let me see. Oh, Christian Okoye, the Nigerian Nightmare. Nick Lowry. Bobby Hebert. Let's see who else. Oh, rookie card. Aaron Craver, running back, Fresno State. Bobby Humphrey. Bobby Humphrey has so much potential, but I think injuries got him. Let's see. I have two cards here. Let's see. I got an art card of Eric Metcalf and arrow threats. Jim Everett to Henry Illard. Wow. So all in all, this wasn't too bad of a draw. Last few cards weren't too bad of a draw. So I can't complain there. I mean, this Tom Aramovich rookie card was worth it all. So I doubt it's worth anything, but it's Tom Aramovich, and I'm sure. I mean, he was the Todd Van Poppel of, you know, to football cards. Because I remember when Todd Van Poppel came out, his rookie cards were like three. I mean, they were commanding big money, and well, we don't know what happened there. I think Todd Van Poppel ended up pitching for the Pirates too, I think, at one point. But anyways, guys, I'm going to end it here. Stay healthy, stay safe, keep exercising, just do what you can, find stuff to do. I've got some ideas on my own of things I want to do, but, you know, just stay positive, and let's hope we, you know, this month here, April, is going to be a tough one, and we're already in it already, but if we can get this, if we can get the worst behind us, and let's hope we do it soon, and maybe things will open up back up for us. Oh, well. Anyways, guys, have a great weekend. Out of Pitt.